Welcome! Welcome to Hug Nation! If you are watching on the archive, well then welcome when you are seeing this. This is an experience beyond time and space. It is a vibration. It is an intention. And whenever you are in that space, non-time space, receiving the vibration, well then we are in Hug Nation. And we are sharing that. And we are strengthening one another and encouraging one another to be in touch with that in ourselves. So thank you for doing that, for being that, as well as thank you for providing that service to all of us. You may not know, but there was a time when I was considered somewhat cocky. In fact, my website was cockybastard.com. And the reason for that was because I was really focused on the idea of self-love. And I still believe that to be a critical component to really any sort of path of spirituality in the world. You cannot go into the world as a vessel of change and a vessel of love if you do not have self-love. The world frowns upon the conversation, the expression of self-love and loving yourself. That's why I called the site Cocky Bastard, because I kind of wanted to beat people to the punch. There's a great Marianne Williamson quote that is often repeated, and I just wanted to start with that. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That's kind of what I was talking about in terms of what Hug Nation is for me and hopefully for you, is that as we allow ourselves to receive the expression, the vibration of love and the divine, we allow others, we reflect it, we amplify it in everyone that we encounter. So thank you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about narcissism, and Narcissus. The story of Narcissus is about a flamboyant young man who, due to the curses thrown around by gods, as they are wont to do, ended up catching his gaze in a pool and then falling in love with himself and then being trapped by his gaze and just being just enamored by his own reflection. And we use that as a cautionary tale, as a bad thing. And I'm starting to think that that's actually not nearly the terrible outcome that we make it out to be. We, each one of us, is our own experience of the universe. Everything that we experience in the universe is done inside our brains. Every visual, every thought, everything is experienced through us. This is our terminal to reality or thought or creativity or anything. Any sensation, anything, only happens as we process it through our brain. Within this gaze of the pool, we can experience the universe. We also can witness the miracles of the natural world as they are experienced by us. We have no more intimate experience of the miracles of the cosmos other than what happens in our own bodies. We can see ourselves heal. We can experience food become energy. We can experience hot, cold sensations, feelings. All of this is happening through this vessel, for this experience. So as we are gazing at ourselves, we are actually gazing into the very fabric of the universe. it is does not serve us to try to shed that inner study. The unexamined life is unworth living. So is the unexamined self. That's what, I mean, this is our best classroom. We are a fractal expression of the miracle of the universe. Now, school teaches us about history and about the world. And it is, we get this kind of sense of this way things are, this intricate workings of the system. And we learn about the birth of our country, we learn about industry, we learn about, and it's the reality is when we learn about, what we learn is we learn a very simplified black and white story version of these things. And it paints this picture of a flow of progress, this massive wave of movement that we just got to try to jump in and not really get tossed around and not get, you know, too in the way, you know, try to build a raft as best we can so we can ride the wave. But really, wave is not a good metaphor. Because a wave is still within the natural cycles of the universe. What we're actually talking about, what human culture, what progress is more like the flood of water that happens after a dam breaks. We don't exactly know where it's going. It's cutting a path through the timeless cycles of nature. And we have this faith, we have this cultural belief that it's headed towards something good. Towards what? More water? You know, we're like, yeah, we're bringing water to the desert! Meanwhile, countless cactuses are going extinct. And it is important to remember that because we never are really given the opportunity to question if this path is good, if this flow is good. We're more instructed to get on board as good as possible. If you try hard, if you work hard, you can get a job on a really big boat run by one of the people that has a good sense of where this wave is going, where this flood is going. Now, reality is, do these people that are making these decisions have an idea where it's going? I don't know. I would guess that its progress is in and of itself not necessarily a good thing. Now, I'm not saying that progress and growth and creating and all of these things are bad in and of themselves. I'm saying that we need to question progress. We need to be wise with our direction of growth. Where, you know, does this serve us? Now, you know, we get so taught about how incredible and how wonderful and how really just this is the way it is, when the reality is there could be a lot going on in that little puddle that can catch our gaze. And I think that self-love is the key out of that madness. As we start to understand that we are not, in fact, these pawns that are lucky to be a part of the flood. No person in the flood is any greater, any smarter, any better equipped than we are. The story that we are given in school is that this history is flowing and we, you know, kind of, we show up in the middle and the best we can do is kind of make a life for ourselves. Maybe have a better house for our kids than we had ourselves. There's a Steve Jobs quote said, "You tend to get told that the world is the way it is and your life is just to live your life inside the world. Try not to bash into the walls too much. Try to have a nice family, have fun, save a little money. That is a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is that everything around you that you call life was made up of people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it, you can influence it." Now, to be fair, Steve Jobs also said that you should put a dent in the universe, which kind of goes against my feelings of harmony. But I really like what he's trying to say, which is that break out of that mindset that you are a consumer, that you are a pawn, that you are a passive recipient of the universe. And part of that starts with self-love, with recognizing that, wait a minute, I'm not a less than thing that is lucky to be here. I am as incredible as everyone. Now, everyone in history, every amazing person was no better equipped than you are, was no smarter, was no... They did something amazing, though. And what they did was... And they did something, actually, that makes them much more like you than anybody who is wrapped up in the flood. They stared into their pool. They gazed into the divine source. They heard their heart song and then made the choice to act on that. No matter what the flow, whatever the tide was doing, they were able to stare long enough into themselves, into that pool, until they start to hear a direction, start to feel a pull that was different, that was unique, that was divinely guided. Now, what is these people all, you know, kind of were aware of history, were aware of their surroundings, and then listen to themselves. And that is important. It is important to be aware of history, to read, to stand on the shoulders of giants. But what you need to do is be aware that they may not be pointing you in the right direction. So all information that you receive as information, you have to accept on faith. And you build up faith in the people that teach you. But that is very different than knowledge, which is the way you experience the world. We have such a terminal-based existence. So much of our worlds are filtered through data, through words, through pictures, that we have a very skewed idea of what is information that we accept on faith and what is knowledge that we experience in the world. Understanding that difference allows us to kind of separate, and if we feel it's right, pull out of the flood. Now, we have a tendency as a culture to measure greatness as in magnitude, as filling a stadium, as putting our name on a building. But greatness is not measured by faces on a mountain. It's measured by thank yous on lips. And the most amazing great people of history, maybe the ones that you've never heard of, maybe the ones that have discovered that their heart song drove them to one of compassion, drove them to one of connection. And this is so huge, because if you don't gaze into the puddle and you don't start to realize that there is a heart song, there is a personal choice that you can make in this world, then you just surrender and be not, you surrender not to the divine, but you just surrender to the status quo flood. But when you can start to see, wait a minute, I can make the choice that all great people made, which is tuning in, making a decision based on integrity, based on my truth. That's the only difference. That is what we need, self-love, what we need, our narcissism to stare into the puddle, to trust ourselves, to hear what the outside and question it until we can go, okay, I'm ready to make my choice in this moment. I'm ready to really, you know, why am I forgetting the term? The original sin, or the freedom of choice. That's the word I keep meaning. That is our freedom, free will. Free will, that is it. That is that choice in that moment. In every moment, to decide, am I going to go with the flow? Am I going to be governed by ideas, values that came to me from the outside? Or am I going to make this path, choice, decision from an internal guidance? And if you don't have that internal guidance, go back to the puddle. It is very hard, because the world, the culture, the status quo, especially one that is so driven by consumerism, is incredibly motivated to keep you in the flood. rushing towards this huge body of water that we don't even know what it does. But it's got to be good. And as long as you stay in the flood, you help keep it going. And so everything in our culture will try to remind you that you are a consumer. Not just that you're a consumer, but you are missing something. You are not enough. You need stuff. You need services. You need product A and B to try to get you the inner peace that will allow you to trust that voice. Of course, no product does that. It just gives you a surge of, now it's gone. And then till you hear the next messaging that reminds you something else. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is broken. This is broken. This is broken. But nothing is broken. Everything is perfect. There's only this now moment in which you are at every moment in that crossroads of, do I passively surrender to this flood, or do I choose integrity, creativity, love? Now, we are everyone in the flood, everything under the flood, everything that we are is all connected. The fabric of the universe is a single thing, interconnected, absolutely. Every bit of matter here originated the Big Bang. It is one thing. But each of us has an intimately unique perspective and experience of the one thing. Most of us is beyond our control. Most of us is simply a part of the natural cycles of the universe. Our breath, our heartbeat, our cells healing, the digestive processes with all the microbes in there, all of this stuff, our hair growing, it just happens. It flows just like the tides and the seasons. But we have a little thing that we kind of have some control over, our mind, our thoughts. And so what governs that process? What allows us to then say, what am I going to use this mind to do? Am I going to steer this mind with the flood? Because it just that just seems to make sense. Or can I stare long enough into the puddle? Can I quiet the massive, loud volume of this culture enough to hear what is important to me? Can I love myself? Can I recognize the unique experience of me enough that it trumps all of the you shoulds, you're not enoughs, all of the voices and things and experiences that are trying to get you to be scared, insecure, afraid, so that then you trust this thing, this force, these people that have no more wisdom than you? So, you are a miracle. You have all the miracles of harmony and flow and integration and cycles and patterns of the universe in your body as you interact that way with the universe. And on top of all that, you have the ability to perceive it as it is happening. There is no greater gift. Our responsibility, our goal, our path, is to simply honor that gift, worship that divine expression that we are, and then if it steers us in ways outside of the status quo, no matter what voices come from the outside, know that we are making that choice of greatness, aligning with the divine, and expressing the one thing that we have the choice to express. So, go look in the mirror, gaze at God, and see what you have to say for yourself. Priority asks, what's the difference between surrendering to the flood and going with the flow? Ooh, what a great question. surrendering to the flood, go with the flow. And this is one of the most misunderstood concepts. Whenever I'm talking about, you know, float more, steer less, people often go, what do you mean, just do nothing? And so the flood that I was talking about is the progression of mind, the progression of humanity, the progression of progress and humanity's desire to achieve, build, and conquer. And if you look at the other animals on the planet, and the general tendency between most species is they fall into a balance. If you have too many bobcats in an environment, then they run out of food and the population comes down. If you have a whole bunch of wheat somewhere here, then a bunch of field mice, the field mice population goes up, and then the bobcat population goes up until it all gets back into balance again. And nature is, it is this stasis, this, not stasis, I take that back. Nature is this balance, always moving. There is no stasis. It's always a flow, a cycle, a black-white, life-death, light-dark, snow-sun. And the flood of humanity bulldozes through that. Humanity tends to have this, I guess, a God complex. We like to shape our environment to suit our needs. So the flow is the way that nature finds balance, finds harmony, and feeling that harmony in ourselves, which I believe is an expression of connection, harmony, and love. The human flood is towards progress, victory, acquisition, achievement. It's very ego-based. It's very much about climbing a mountain as opposed to flowing. And so this flood has a mindset that it is heading towards victory, while we don't really even know what that is, or how that feels, or if it's good, or what the consequences are. Now, it's easy to argue that that flood is actually a part of the natural system, and that just as when there are too many bobcats, they eat up all the mice, when humans act a certain way, eventually the universe will calibrate and find a way to get back in balance. You know, that when, for ages, human beings were uncivilized. There's a book called The Story of Bee. It talks about the Great Forgetting, which is actually the time period before we became civilized. And we don't have a lot of information about it, but there was this huge period of time where people lived in harmony with their environments. You know, we migrated with herds, we, you know, moved with the seasons, and we did not develop cities or anything like that. And we kind of either don't talk about it or look down about it, like that is primitive. What we value is the conquering of nature. And so it was only when cities became, and when we started to have these huge clumps of unnatural amounts of human beings in small spaces, that we started to have diseases and plagues. Because nature was doing what it does and going, whoa! And trying to get us back in balance. But we are smart. And we figure out ways to... Just as, you know, the flu bugs keep getting a little bit smarter and more evolved from the medicines that we create, so too human beings get a little bit smarter to the diseases that the earth creates to try to keep us in check. So the difference between flood and flow is flow is harmony, flood is cutting its own path. As I say that, I recognize that it's no wonder we have a challenge trying to figure that out. It's no wonder we get confused and we feel like the flood is the flow. And we feel like that if we're not paddling as hard as we can, if we aren't building a bigger raft, if we aren't aligning with people who have big rafts, that we are missing out, we're out of the flow, that we are losing. Which is why it is so hard and so important to try to find a community of people that will support the path or the learning or the even acknowledging that there is wisdom in that Narcissus pool, that there is choices, voices that come from the heart that might be in total contradiction to the flow of prosperity and financial growth and societal. You know, we tend to, there's a great metaphor within nature that in your body, you have whatever, how many trillion cells, and each cell has a purpose that is unique and perfect. And in compared to all the cell, I mean, the molecules of the cosmos, it's pretty amazing. These are living cells. What a gift. And some of the cells get to be part of an eye and process visual information. Some of them get to be part of bone marrow. Some of them get to be skin cells. So much of this stuff. And each cell, if they surrender to their purpose, they are part of something amazing. But if any one cell starts to think that they know what's best for the body, that what they think to be the role of the body is what every cell should do, there's a medical term for that, and that's cancer. And so when humanity falls into that trap of thinking it knows what's best for other people, for other species, for the planet itself, when we start to get out of alignment with what an individual purpose is and actually instead try to create, shape, steer, conquer, shape the world to fit our individual ego desires, we are cancerous. And, you know, time will tell how Mother Earth and our population learns to heal. Let's have a hug. Wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders. This amazing body, this body that works so flawlessly with no input from you. You can throw incredibly processed food into it and somehow it gives you energy. You can pump all sorts of chemicals into you and somehow it filters it. You can inhale smoky air. Somehow it filters that and keeps you thriving. This body, your intimate classroom of the universe, teaching you from the inside out how amazing existence is, how miraculous life is. And there's a little bitty piece inside that body that processes and delivers and allows us to think, to have thoughts, to perceive, to receive, so that the entire universe outside our body can be perceived and experienced inside of us, inside our minds. So let's just take a moment and be appreciative of that gift and remind ourselves that whatever drama or obstacles are in the way are just part of a story, a part of a game, a gift, a little round of some momentary story that we've chosen to experience as an exercise in play, as an exercise in how the divine experiences this planet and other life. But love yourself, love that ability, love that seat that you have. And when you start feeling like there's parts of that seat, parts of that humanity that are not what you wish they were, not tall enough, not thin enough, not smart enough, too damaged for this, know that those voices come from the flood, come from the status quo, and that everything you are is the soil and the sun and the air and the minerals to fuel you, create you, and allow you to be this perfect expression of the divine, to put you in this perfect now moment where you can choose love, where you can choose integrity, where you can choose to align with the divine. Let's take a deep breath and just feel that connection with the divine in all beings. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. Thank you for being you. Thank you for shining your light. Thank you for listening to your heart song. Thank you for staring into your pool. Thank you for sharing the gift of you with the world. It is majestic. It is miraculous. It is a reminder of how amazing we all are. Thank you. I love you. Namaste.
You only live once. Enjoy the color.